This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Lisa Mullins in for Meghna Chakrabarty. The clock is ticking toward a deadline of midnight tonight. That's when the U.S. government will shut down if Republicans and Democrats cannot pull themselves from the depths of deadlock and accusation. This afternoon in Washington, the Senate roundly rejected a bill from the House that would have funded the federal government for a few months, but only if key parts of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, were postponed.
So the Senate has kicked the budgetary football back into the House, where a core group of Republicans have tried again and again to defund Obamacare. Now they're on the verge of defunding the entire government instead. Noah Bierman covers Congress for the Boston Globe and joins us now from their bureau there. And Noah, good to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
So give us the latest. First of all, the mood down there. What is the mood? Any chance of reconciliation?
That's a good question. It depends who you talk to. If you went to the press conference that I just went to with Senate Majority Harry Reid, you would probably think no. He called Republicans banana Republicans, anarchists. Is there anything you would do even to save face? I asked him as he was walking out the door. He said no before I even finished the question. And I said, why? He said, saving face is protecting America. His position is they shouldn't be negotiating at all over Obamacare in the context of funding the government, whereas you've got a very vocal and influential group of Republicans, although not the entire Republican Party, who says this is an opportunity for leverage. This law will be, you know, one of the worst laws that could possibly affect the United States, so this is the chance to stop it in its tracks, or at least slow it down.
So, as we said, the action now shifts to the House. What are the options there in the hours that remain before we hit this midnight deadline?
There are a few. The latest you're hearing today is that the House may come back with another proposal that would basically give a worse medical coverage to congressmen and their staffs. That would be a sort of symbolic thing to do. It would also affect congressmen and their staffs, which wouldn't make a lot of them happy around here. Another thing they're talking about is maybe delaying another piece of President Obama's health care law, maybe delaying the individual mandate. But again, those options were roundly rejected already by Majority Leader Reid, who has said, just bring our bill to the floor. There will be enough support if Boehner were to let both Democrats and Republicans vote on what the Senate has already voted, which is a sort of a no-strings-attached fund the government for a couple months. And he's probably right on that. The question is whether Speaker Boehner is willing to risk not being Speaker Boehner anymore, but Representative from Ohio Boehner.
The last time Republicans let the government shut down over a fight like this was 17 years ago. It didn't end up working out so well for them. Is there a sense among Republicans in the House that it's different this time around, that somehow they could benefit from the sort of the spectacle of the government being defunded like this?
I think there are a lot of Republicans who are keenly aware that this is a tough issue for them, and they have been, some in quieter conversations, some a little bit more vocal, saying this is not a good idea for Republicans. You do have some members of the House who say, you know, look, I'm not here to protect the Republican Party. I'm here to speak for the people in my district, and they believe the people in their district are, you know, very, very strongly want them to do anything they can to put the brakes on this law. And then a lot of them are also coming from an anti-establishment mindset and an anti-federal government mindset, where shutting down the government doesn't sound quite as catastrophic to some of them, although most do say they ultimately do not want to shut down the government.
Yeah. So what's been the response from the Massachusetts delegation to all this?
Well, the Massachusetts Democrats don't have much of a role, actually, because this is basically a fight among House Republicans. If it comes to the point where there is a bill that needs bipartisan support, if Speaker Boehner decides he's going to try and get something done and ignore the more conservative members of his caucus, then that would give some more leverage to Democrats in Massachusetts' entirely Democratic delegation. And the two Democrats in the Senate have been voting along with the party leader. They've been pretty unified. Again, they're not really having a leading role in this particular debate. On the House side, Jim McGovern from Worcester has been pretty active in plotting strategy with House Democratic leaders. Mm.
No, Bierman, just literally 5 seconds left, but I'm not sure if you're a betting man, but if you were setting the odds in Las Vegas, chances that this government is going to be shut down at midnight?
I think I would take the over on that. I think it's going to be shut down, but we'll see. A lot of people who've been around here a lot longer than me say they've seen things that look inevitable all of a sudden get fixed at the very last minute. So, you know, call me at 11:59.
All right. Noah Bierman covers Washington for the Boston Globe, and he might be in for a late night tonight, waiting for the clock to strike midnight. Noah Bierman, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
And in the meantime, tensions are continuing to rise in Washington, D.C., as you can imagine, and they're spiking here in Massachusetts, too. A few hours ago, federal workers and others protested outside the state Republican Party offices in Government Center. So here's our question. What does a shutdown mean for Massachusetts, also for Boston, and for you? Joining us now is WBUR reporter Fred Bever, who's been out and about all day today getting the lay of the land. Hi, Fred.
Hello, Lisa.
Okay, what federal workers will not be going to work if the government is shut down?
Well, first, I just want to mention that at that state GOP headquarters where that protest was today, I did get a response from the Republican Party. They say they stand with the taxpayers of Massachusetts in opposing Obamacare and a government shutdown. So you see, the battle to steer blame in this crisis isn't just happening in D.C. Now, as to which workers could be affected? It's those that are classified as non-essential. Estimates are that could be close to a quarter of the federal workers in the nation. Here in Massachusetts and in Boston in particular, perhaps the most immediate evidence would be the closure of National Park Service facilities like the USS Constitution, the Bunker Hill Monument. Freedom Trail tours wouldn't be conducted. And this is at a time when a lot of tourists are coming through. It's the beginning of foliage season. And at the federal JFK building downtown, one worker said he expects it to look like a ghost town if this goes through. Mm-hmm. I spoke with Sean Hennessy, as a spokesman for the National Park Service, who gave me a sense of what federal workers are hearing about all this.
On October 1st, all those employees who are going to be furloughed will get their official notices. They'll be asked to change the greeting on their voicemail and on their email. They'll be asked to shut down their computers, turn off their government-issued cell phones, and turn off the lights and leave the premises.
So that's a pretty matter-of-fact assessment of what a government shutdown will look like in reality. Did you find many people out there today, Fred, who were genuinely worried about this?
Oh, yes, quite more than matter of fact. Take a listen to Caroline Federoff. She's the president of the local American Federation of Government Employees, and she was at that downtown protest.
In my agency, Department of Housing and Urban Development, 97% of us will not be on the job tomorrow. We will not be doing the work on behalf of the American public because Congress has not done its job on behalf of the American public.
Fred, what about people in Massachusetts who receive federal benefits, Social Security, for instance, or disability checks? Will the checks still go out?
Yes, the checks will still go out. Unemployment benefits, too. And by the way, school lunch programs will go ahead. There's some questions about some assistance for women and children. State officials are still trying to work that through. If you're applying for new benefits or government loans, you may have to wait a while. Michael Caine, who was an organizer of that rally, says he would feel the pinch.
I'm ready to sign up for Medicare next week when I turn 65, but the government is shut down. I can't do that. Like the 200,000 other people my age or older who will not be able to call the government because it'll be closed if they have a problem with their Social Security check or Medicare payment.
The military, the FBI office here in Boston, would folks who work there be furloughed as well?
No. Law enforcement would remain on the job because federal workers whose jobs include protection of life and property are specifically exempt from furlough. And I spoke to the FBI today. That's pretty much all of their field operations for four states based in Boston will continue. After mid-October, there might be some slowdowns in pay for active military, but active military will remain on duty. But civilian defense workers, as many as half of them could be furloughed. The Department of Justice says that civil litigation could be slowed down. They're asking their litigants to request court delays. So civil rights, antitrust, immigration cases all could be put on hold. It does appear that federal courthouses will stay open for at least the short term. And Amtrak, by the way, a service to New York, is also going to continue short term, although it's still suffering interruptions and showdowns from last week's electrical outage.
Okay. Thank you. Fred Bever, WBUR reporter. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And stay with us. Up next, Massachusetts was the first state to mandate health insurance for all. Now it's tackling cost. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. This is Radio Boston.